Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a train wreck in the morning. I'm a bitch in the afternoon. Every now and then without warning, I can be really mean toward you.
My Life Radio. I'm your girl, Teresa Murphy, and we are so excited for the 2019 year. I don't think I've seen you guys this year. I do apologize for us being MIA, but we got some new things in store. We're about to hop on the iHeartRadio platform. Super excited. I can't wait to give you guys all the information where you can listen to us live on. You have SiriusXM Radio. So super excited for that. Again, it's been four long years, well, almost 4 years, and hasn't been four easy years, but anything that you do, you have to be consistent to continuously to grow and be successful at what it is that you are trying to achieve. So in the studio today, I got me again, Oh, this is a real serialpreneur. So we got serialpreneur because she is a
real serialpreneur. So I'm going to let her talk to you about a lot of the things that she actually does, as well as who she is and so forth. And actually, LaTanya has joined me before in the studio, but for those of you that are just tuning in for the first time to MML Radio, thank you again for your support, and thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to listen to what we have to talk about on our podcast. So without further ado, hello, LaTanya.
Hey, Teresa, how are you?
I am awesome.
I'm in the studio today.
Yes. We make it move, girl. Boss is making moves.
We make it happen.
I want to firstly thank you for joining us today. I truly appreciate it. Your expertise, of course, is always.
Absolutely.
Always appreciated. Today, guys, today's show, we're going to talk about Breaking Generational Curses, Part 3, because I do believe that we did talk about generational curses on two shows. You guys will be amazed, I'm telling you, at how many folks were continuously asking, can we talk about it again? And it's to the point now that LaTanya, that we're going to even create some webinars and things of that nature for you guys. So I'm really, really hyped.
Right.
And and hopefully LaTanya will be joining me on some of those webinars as well. So a little more about that later to come. But Tanya was asking something, and she wanted to know, you know, why did I decide to do this topic again? And as I explained to Tanya that, first of all, it was in high demand.
Okay.
My last show basically had 4,165 listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of folks that are really interested in really how to break generational curses, because we were basically molded, and we were basically told that because a family member has done something a certain way, particularly it's a lot with your immediate family, because they've done things a certain way, or you've had failures throughout your family, or you've had made bad choices, you've had drug abuse throughout your family, you've had alcoholism throughout your family, and the folks say, oh, well, she was bound or he was bound to be an alcoholic because it runs in the family, right? So it's time now to stop making excuses about your behavior because you say it runs in a family. And, you know, the one I always get is, she's crazy.
Yeah.
Or she's crazy, and it runs in her family, right? So Tanya and I today are going to just touch on a little bit about generational curses and, give you guys our feedback and, you know, how we feel about it. And also try to give you guys some nuggets on how you can kind of start taking some steps in breaking some of those generational curses. The unfortunate part, though, Tanya, it's hard because when you've gotten told over and over again about breaking generational curses, you start to believe that that's how your life's supposed to be. So we're going to hop right in and talk a little bit about that. So, Tanya, firstly, I wanted to start out by saying I wanted to touch on something, and it's something personal about myself. So, guys, you know how candid and open I am. You guys know that I pretty much open up, you know, my life to you guys for the most part. And I wanted to talk about just even for myself. So I don't know if I brought this up on the most recent show, but, again, for those of you that are just tuning in, I wanted to bring, you know, talk about this again. So alcoholism in my family, and not alcoholic, but alcoholism in my family is really, really heavy, right? So, like, guys, I started drinking. I took my first drink. I was, like, 14, and I'll never forget it. My cousin gave me a drink, and I drank it, right? So I started drinking at 14, and I had drank throughout, you know, my teenage years, my early adult years, my dad drank, you know, and then his dad, my dad's dad was an alcoholic.
Right.
And so my grandmother drank, which is my dad's mom. So basically where I'm going with this, my sister was is a heavy drinker. Yeah. So basically where I'm going with it is, it's almost as if everyone that, a lot of folks in my family, drank alcohol.
You're right. But it seemed normal, though, right?
It did.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to always hear people say, well, girl, you're bound to be a drunk or you're bound to drink because it runs in the family. And so where I'm going with this conversation is that 3 years ago, it's about now I do more of social drinking.
Right.
And so 3 years ago, I actually decided after all the years of drinking and poor behavior,
right,
because everybody knows that alcohol makes you turn into a whole other person.
A whole other person.
Okay. And you start hearing these stories the next day. They sound like horror stories. And you're sitting there thinking to yourself, I don't believe I did all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so because I saw that coming up as a child, I said, I started to believe I was going to drink the rest of my life.
Right.
Because, I mean, that firstly, that's what I was told.
And that's what you saw.
That's what I saw. And then that's what people made me believe.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, no, I'm going to pray my way through this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I know I can be a sociable drinker. I don't. I used to drink every day just
because. But do you think you really can be a sociable drinker?
I do think I can be a sociable drinker because I really feel like that's what I am now.
Okay.
Because it was one point where, you know, and I can be honest, I was codependent on alcohol. I like the way it made me feel. I like all the things it made me forget.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I never had to go. Totally forget.
Totally forget.
Yeah. But I never had to go to no AA program for me to stop drinking.
Right.
Right? So, but I do see family right now that are still drinking heavy.
Absolutely.
Right? And I see family right now that kind of have put themselves in this box of, oh, well, if you are in this family, in this family tree, you're going to be an alcoholic. I think sometimes people just tell you that and you start to believe it because I was that person.
Yeah.
Until I realized, again, I didn't like how it made me feel.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to ask you, Tanya, when you have went through a family that has been drinking through generation to generation, I mean, I've had folks in my family pass from alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, how would you break that curse? You know, I mean, I had an older cousin, gave me my first drink. I was 14 years old. I think it was like Cisco on private stock.
Mm.
And everybody knows those are like
that
crack.
Old, girl. Old thing drinking.
Yeah.
Old
so,
yeah.
I guess the question would be, how would you stop a curse like that? Because to me, it's still a curse.
Yeah.
You're not going to tell me that my kids have to drink, my kids' kids have to drink because drinking runs in the family. But a lot of this stuff is hereditary.
Yeah, I think that it stops with the person that truly identifies that it's a problem. You know, it's going to take that person to say, like Teresa said, it's a problem. It's out of hand. It's self-identity. And, you know, you can tell somebody all day, every day, but until they can identify that it's a real problem and it's creating an impact in their life, sometimes it takes longer for them to understand that. And sometimes it takes, something has to happen. Something has to happen dramatic in their life. Something has to take place for somebody to say, okay, there is a problem. And then being honest with the people around you that we have a problem. It's a family problem.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting down and having a real conversation about it and accepting that that's what it is. And I think that with anything, Teresa, and I say this all the time, you know, everything starts with God. You know, at some point you have to say, you know, I cannot do it by myself. I cannot do it alone. And you get to that point and you accept and you embrace that you cannot do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. It's okay to not be able to do it alone.
Yeah.
Everybody can't just go cold turkey and just stop. You know, because there are some people, you know, that truly believe that they don't have an addictive personality. I don't have addiction. I can break it. It's not addictive for me. I can stop anytime. I've heard that. Drugs, alcohol, sex, it's not. I can stop it at any time. But the reality is that's not most people. And so those people first need to first accept they have a problem. Two, you need to embrace God and bring him in your life and help you get through the situation. There is nobody greater, stronger, and who can believe in you more and is going to help you get through that situation. And you truly have to embrace and accept and acknowledge that you have a problem. That's the first step of anything because we live a life of denial all the time. You know, I don't have finance problems. You know, I don't have, I'm a great mother.
Mm-hmm.
But the results don't show that. You're drinking every day. and your work not getting done. So that's not true. There's something that's playing a role in your life. You're not getting up to go to work on time. There are things that's impacting you that you won't accept until somebody says, you're late all the time. How do you know how far you can't get up in the morning?
Totally.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It starts, I think, really with the self-identity and somebody bringing it to your attention and bringing God into it. And you have to, at some point, love yourself. If you just don't love yourself, you're going to continue to abuse yourself.
I totally agree with that. I think, too, that Tanya did make one really good point. So for those of you that are tuned in, honestly, one point is that you have to identify.
Yeah.
You have to be strong enough to say, I do have a problem.
Yeah.
And I'm not what I've been told that I am. But that right there, that's the biggest challenge. That's the biggest battle for people to get to.
Yeah.
Because we live in a process of denial.
Yeah.
Right?
We don't want to accept it.
We don't. And if you get told something so much, you do start to believe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I just wanted to share you guys that story for me because it resonates, hits home, really hits home very closely with the drinking piece. Because, like I said, I still have folks in my family right now that drink heavily, including my dad.
Right.
So, again, I think it's important. So, I want to give a drop of a couple of nuggets. Firstly, and it doesn't have to be alcoholism, but firstly, identify with what you think that generational curse is.
What is it? What's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
We need to identify.
Self-identify, right?
Yes.
And then once you acknowledge it, right, once you acknowledge and you accept it, then you have to apply some actions to be able to change it. And, again, it sounds so easy for me to sit here with you, Tanya, and say, hey, look, just, identify what your issues are, and go get them fixed. For me, you and I know that it's not that easy. It's not. So what would you recommend
What I would say next is, Teresa, is identify. I think what you have to do next after you realize that you have this problem is now you have to go back to where the generation started. Because sometimes before you can get to the end, you need to understand the beginning. So maybe the next step in the process is important for you to go back, whether it's your mother, your daddy, your father, and say, you do know that there's a problem in this thing.
Mm.
Go back and address, forgive, accept, apologize, forget. You have to go back to the beginning sometimes of how did that get to this point. So you have to go address those people. I think you have to have a conversation within the family of how did this get started, and you have to put everybody on blast. You have to.
I can agree with that because, and really what Latanya is saying is sometimes that's what it takes for you to go back and address where you think source is and where it got started. But that's what a lot of us, that's the one thing a lot of us won't do, though.
Yeah.
We won't go back and address source, right?
Yeah.
Because to us, that's not going to solve anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll start to open up old wounds and things of that nature,
right?
How about counseling?
Yeah, and it may be counseling. And this is what I told somebody yesterday. I had a coaching session yesterday, and what I shared with the young lady was, okay, I understand you want to bring your family. You think you all need to come to the table and get counseling. You do, because there's definitely a lot of open wounds. You're hurt, and they're not accepting. Her situation is she hasn't gone through a generational curse, and her family is not accepting that there's a problem. So I said, that's okay. First, go try to heal you. And in healing you and talking to a counselor, to Teresa's point, that's going to help you open up all the things of what's how to begin and start it.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe eventually you can embrace them to come and be a part of. And maybe they're there for support for you. Because right now they can't identify that the problem started early on before you. So it's counseling. And then maybe once you start your one-on-one counseling, maybe at that point you can embrace your family or whoever you feel is affected as well to become a part of that session. So now they think they're there to support you, but in reality, hoping it's going to be a healing for them too.
And honestly, Latanya, you guys may can help each other.
Exactly.
You don't know you could be healing another family member that's going through the same curse with you by taking them actually with you.
Yeah.
So would you say that maybe accurate? And so let's start with then that was alcoholism. I mean, you have drugs.
A lot of things.
You got folks. I know a lot of folks are not in, they have family members that were never career driven.
Yeah.
They were basically, they just had jobs. They didn't have careers.
Right.
They just had jobs. And so then you get those young folks grow up and they just get jobs, right? Because, well, first they wasn't taught anything else.
It wasn't. It was get a good job, make good money, have a family. That's what you were taught to do. That was it. That was enough.
Thank you. Back then, that was enough. Yeah, it was. And so, so guess what you're doing now?
Yeah.
Now you're trying to break a generational curse right now. Because I know grown people right now. Right this second, I know grown people that they still have jobs.
Yeah.
And I mean, they'll say, "Oh, I don't have the money for that. I don't have the money for that." And they have now led themselves to believe that.
Yeah.
That's all they need to have is a job.
Yeah.
And it's not even really about college education or anything like that. It's just about a career versus a job and what you've seen growing up.
Exactly. And there's a difference between a career and just having a job. It's totally different.
Yeah, like for me, even on that. So for me with career. Well, see, I came from a career-oriented family.
Exactly. Okay.
So if that's a generational curse, that's a good one, right?
Yeah. Right.
And so it was instilled within me.
Yeah.
I came home with career. My mom was a hard worker. My mom owned her own business at one point for years. My dad was an architectural engineer. So I came from a career-oriented family.
Yeah.
But there are so many folks that have come from a broken family, right? So what would you tell somebody or Latanya right now is just say someone said, hey, you know, all I've ever seen people do in my family is get jobs. Nobody told me about getting a career.
Yeah. I think that, you know, at that point you have to realize is the job, is that fulfilling you? Are you fulfilled? Forget what they told you. This is about you. It's not about them. But does that fulfill you? Does that fulfill your purpose? Are you doing what makes you happy? Are you feel like you're living in purpose? Do you feel like you're doing exactly what you love to do every day? And do you enjoy it? Because if that's the case, then you don't want a job. Because a job, you want something that's going to give you fulfillment. And if it's not answering those questions, those would be the questions I would ask. And if the answer to those questions are no, then it's time for a change, right?
Totally.
So I understand they told you that. That's how you take care of your family. But what if I told you there are some other ways you could still take care of your family, probably make more money, and enjoy doing it every day? I think anybody will say yes, sign me up.
Well, I think what that is, it's just like when you talk about the job thing and you also you being able to even talk to someone and actually coach them and be able to help them on their journey of getting a career or actually entrepreneurship or becoming a business owner. I think the biggest challenge that is they haven't seen it.
Yeah.
So someone that hasn't seen it, like right now, they have not. That's not what they. It's not how they were brought up. It's not what they were seeing. It's not what was instilled within them.
Right.
So now they're following the curse that they've seen. The mom working four jobs, the dad got two or three jobs, and this has went on as through their adulthood.
But my question to them would be: do you see it on TV? Have you seen it in a magazine? Have you seen it, you know, somewhere in real life? So that means it does exist, right? It just doesn't exist in your family. So what if you're now that person can now take that and reapply that to your life and create change now in your family? So it has been done. There are people that have beyond that.
And the question would be, why wouldn't you want to?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to?
Why wouldn't you want more?
Why would you settle?
Yeah. And do you want that for your kids, the next generation? Are you okay with that for them?
Because I can tell you right now.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. And that's what the show is about today.
Yeah.
It's about breaking generational curses.
Because your kids model what they see you do majority of the time.
That
is true.
Yes.
They emulate you. They want to be like you. Because I was that way. And I was fortunate to be like your point, Teresa. You know, somebody told me that the other day. I never knew all these things about your mom. My mom passed when I was young. But the memories I have of seeing her get up every morning, putting on a suit, and boy, she was tip-top cute. And then her picking me up from work early from school and me sitting in her office waiting for her to come out of meetings, that was my visual. So I had an opportunity to see something different that other people didn't see. So it was easy for me to migrate into corporate America because my mom.
That's
was
what you saw. That's what was modeled for
so
you.
So kids model what they see. Mm-hmm. You understand? So, and then I had a father who was an entrepreneur. And guess what? I transitioned from one to the other. So you have to remember, as parents, your kids are watching. I know you're saying, you know, they have their own mind, they're going to make their own choices. You know, I've told them to follow their dreams. Sometimes it's not about what you tell them, it's about what you show them. Everything is about action. You talk about that all the time, Teresa. Now, don't tell me what you're going to do, show me.
Yep.
It's the actions that demonstrate. So whatever you're doing, that's what they're probably going to do. And so mm-hmm. I think you just got to take that into consideration. You have to.
Yeah, because honestly, you know, generational curse is just in case, you know, folks, because I don't know if we ever even got deep to define, you know, what a generational curse is.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's the intent upon another person, like ill will upon another person. And it's released a lot of times through sin.
Wow.
It is. It's released a lot of times through sin because if you think about it, you want to go biblical with it.
Yeah.
And they talk about, yeah. Yeah, they do. And when they talk about it in the Bible, they talk about generational curses.
Yeah.
It's ill will released upon a person. Or sin, even it's things from 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Things from your ancestors.
Yeah.
Okay? So generational curses go deep.
Yeah.
It's not something from like where you even just where it started with your parents.
Yeah.
It goes deeper than that.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you hear about generational curses as far as folks that I know a few people right now, nobody ever in their family, no one,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'm ever went to college.
Yeah.
You had high school dropouts.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay?
Yeah.
And it was a generational curse, and guess what?
Okay.
And a lot of the family was dropping out of high school.
Yeah.
And the crazy part about that, it was from ancestors from years ago.
Yeah.
They just didn't go any further. It was folks that didn't know how to read.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody broke the generational curse. They accepted the situation, and a lot of times mentally, we have already told ourselves, this is how it's going to be.
It's going to be.
You don't have to say it out loud.
Yeah. And I think it's important. I think it's very important, Teresa, that you have to get yourself out of that surrounding, out of that situation. You have to get around some different people. You have to have some type of influence.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word I'm looking for. Influence is important. Because you have to now begin to say, this is what they're doing, this is what they're going to continue to do. I have to separate myself. I have to isolate myself. You have to let some people go. And sometimes family is the hardest people to let go, but sometimes you have to separate yourself from your family. You may not be permanent, but for the time being, it's a temporary fix while you work on you. And you have to just get yourself in a different environment, a different space, a different mindset. And sometimes the people around you can't help you. We know the people around you. If they're not doing the right thing, they can't help you because they don't know how. So the best thing you can do is isolate, move yourself, transition somewhere else, and work on you.
I agree with that. But, you know, something else that you had said earlier, Tanya, when you were talking about going back and addressing those individuals,
yeah.
You know, far as, you know, family, you know, parents, siblings and things like that. Because to me, when you go back to address those situations, you get to the root.
You do. Because you can't get to the end. And that's the honest truth. You can't fix what's broken if you understand what happened. I mean, I really believe everything goes back to the beginning.
Yep.
You have to.
And I agree with that 110% because if you don't, that's with anything, I think.
Yeah, that's anything. Excuse me. So y'all think that I'm being silly there, but think about, you know, if you got a husband or man at home and you bring a box home and say you need to put this together, and they don't read the instructions. They just throw it all together, and they end up having to go right back to the beginning because they didn't read the instructions in the beginning to tell you how to do it. That's life every day. And I laugh about stuff. Right? I'm like, you could have got this right the first time.
Yeah,
everything in life, you know, if we just truly follow the process, everything requires a process, and sometimes it goes back to the beginning.
Yeah, but that's the thing. When you don't identify with what the root of a curse is,
yeah, you gotta get to the root.
You're always gonna stay in it.
We're gonna stay in it,
right? So you gotta dare to be different.
Yeah.
You gotta speak that into existence,
yeah.
Right? Because like I said, you know. Even down to you talking about curses, you know, we, like I said, if you go to the biblical piece of it, and you guys can look this information up, because of course it's public information when you're talking about generational curses.
Right.
You have to definitely understand why.
Yeah.
Why, right?
Yeah, the why.
What's the why?
Yeah.
Is it why? Because 40 years ago, my great 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 grandma used drugs, and I know people like this. I have a friend. You know, her mom's on drugs. Then her mom's mom was on drugs. Then her mom's mom's mom was on drugs. And guess what? So was she.
Yeah.
Yeah.